Listener-supported KFUO invites you to listen live to our annual Share-a-thon. It's your opportunity to show your support to KFUO. If you can't join us live, please prayerfully consider supporting us by calling 314-996-1518 and asking about our giving levels. You can also click the Give Now button on our webpage. Share-a-thon 2017, April 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is spring. Even looks like spring here today in St. Louis. And spring means one significant thing for families at seminary, at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Here in the United States, spring means that big change is happening for many of our seminary students and their families. Joining me in studio today, friends from Concordia Seminary St. Louis, Selena Haupt. She's the women's coordinator at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, and with some great friends from Concordia Seminary, seminary wives, to share their story on making that transition, preparing for that transition. Selena, welcome back.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you and all of our friends. We have Kelsey in studio this morning. Good morning, Kelsey.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And your husband is second year, is that correct?
Second year, yes. So we will head out on Vicarage.
Very good. And we have Krista.
Hello.
Fourth year, correct?
Yes.
So you're preparing for call day.
We are.
And Kyla.
Good morning.
Your husband is second year as well, correct?
Yes.
So preparing for Vicarage. And Selena, you're not preparing for any big changes.
No, we are just preparing for another season of busyness at the sum.
Well, it is, it's spring, and that means call day. Vicarage assignments are just around the corner, coming up in, just a couple of weeks.
Two weeks from today.
The 26th of April, so just around the corner for you. This is kind of a day, perhaps, that I gather you've been preparing for and thinking about for some time now, and whether it's call day or vicarage day. Krista's already been through the vicarage day, vicarage assignment.
Correct. We did traditional route. So 2 years ago at this time, we were waiting anxiously to find out where we'd be for vicarage.
So you already know what that's like and can share with these ladies about that experience. I'm sure everyone's experience is different, but you've been able, I'm sure, to provide some support to them.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about where you're from and a little bit of background before we get too far into where you might be going. So, Kelsey, tell us a little bit about where you're from, where your husband's from, and what life has been like at seminary so far.
I am originally from North Dakota. My husband's from Michigan. We met at college in Tennessee and then lived in Michigan for 4 years before coming to the seminary. We have loved Sem Life. It will be, we are so excited for Vicarage, but you'll miss it, the wonderful community and the people there. But we are excited for Vicarage. We want to know where we're going. We want to start getting ready. You start to feel that sort of anxious energy. Yeah.
What have you loved about seminary life? You mentioned you love seminary life. What is it that you like about seminary life?
The people. I think so much about how I can send my kids out the back door and there are friends. Mm-hmm. Every day there are friends. And they play for hours and then they come back in for a snack. And you just think about what a magical childhood that must be to kind of always have people around. Yeah, I think that'd be the big thing.
Krista, tell us a little bit about you and your husband, where you're from.
Sure. I am from St. Charles, Missouri, which is not too far from the KFUO studio here. My husband is from just north of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and we met in college there. And we came straight to the seminary after college. So for us, it's kind of just been a continuation of that educational experience. And we haven't quite grown out of that college phase yet. Just got to come down with a lot of our friends and pick up some new ones on the way.
What about Vicarage? Where did you all serve Vicarage?
We were blessed to be able to stay in the St. Louis area. My husband had a two-part Vicarage. It was kind of a unique situation, but serving a southern St. Louis suburb, St. John's in Arnold, and we live down in St. Genevieve, Missouri, which is the oldest town in Missouri.
Wow. So serving right here in Missouri, and what have been the challenges and the joys so far of seminary life?
The joys, like Kelsey said, are the people. Just getting to experience people who have common goals and a common faith in our culture. That's something that we just cling to be able to share something so unique as sacrificing years of your life to go into the ministry of the Lord, and then the whole rest of your life being focused on that. Challenges have been, for me personally, I have a fantastic job. So just thinking about leaving that and preparing for vicarage, I thought I'd have to leave it and I didn't. So now it's getting even harder because I've been there longer. There's financial struggles, but seminary does such a good job of alleviating that as much as possible. And for some people, being far from family, but for us, that hasn't been an issue. So,
Kyla, tell me about where you're from, where your husband's from, and what you've enjoyed about seminary life so far.
So I'm originally from Maryland, and my husband was born in Florida and moved a ton of times in between there and eventually the two of us meeting in college in Chicago. And then we are both DCEs. So after college, we had internships. I came down here to St. Louis, actually, and then he went up to northern Wisconsin. And then we spent 2 years in northern Wisconsin before moving down here to pursue his pastoral studies. So we've kind of been from all over at this point, but wouldn't have it any other way.
What have been some of the challenges and the joys of seminary life so far, 2 years in?
Challenge for sure is just, I think, the constant state of transition. Even though we've now lived on campus for 2 years, your community, as great as it is constantly moving in and out. There's always new faces. The constant, we're going to move at some point to some place that we don't know. The job situation that Krista mentioned, all of that is just the kind of creates this constant state of transition. But with that, just we love the unique opportunity that it is to just be blessed to get to study ministry and be preparing to go out and serve people. It's not often that you just get to be in that place for this time.
How do you think your education and your experience as a director of Christian education will help you and is preparing you for the for your family making this transition to vicarage and eventually to a call?
Right now, I know, especially with like looking forward to vicarage, it's really helping with our anxious levels. We love parish ministry, so it's super exciting to know that we are getting to go back to parish ministry. As much as we love the seminary community, we're just really looking forward to that.
So what are the questions you have, and how do you get those answers as you're preparing for vicarage? And we'll talk about call day as well. What are the questions you have and who's been helping you get those answers? Which ones are still unanswered?
My guess is the biggest question that we don't have the answer to yet is, where will they be sent? That's probably the largest, and that will be revealed on the 26th. But we've had a lot of preparation and classes prior to call day, just to kind of encourage gals and talk through strategies and so that they can be comforted and know that God's got a plan in all of this.
What are some of the resources that you found through your time at the seminary, 2 years, 4 years? What are the resources that have been made available to you or that you found that have been most helpful?
In general, just other people. You have, you know, second year wives have fourth year wives to talk to, or getting to know some of the women who have already left the seminary and they're in their first call. And so you kind of end up just in living life together, sharing lots of tips and tricks on how to survive all of it, whether that's the best packing strategy or tips for the emotional stuff, preparing kids for the emotional part of transitioning. So I think other people definitely would be the big one.
You mentioned preparing children for making that transition. How are you doing that now?
Well, right now, I mostly feel bad for my four-year-old. She must think her parents know nothing. Where are we going? Will we be in a house? Will it be an apartment? Well, we don't know. Well, we don't know. Well, we don't know. We don't know. Good questions, honey. I'll tell you in 2 weeks. But she's excited. She has already seen people come and go at the seminary, and she knows that it's an exciting thing, and she's happy to be a part of it, which is fun to watch in a little person.
So having the rest of the seminary community around you who have many who have gone through this experience already helps you prepare your child for this transition as well. She's seen friends come and go with their families going on vicarage or taking, you know, receiving a call. So just that, just being in that environment has been helpful. What are the other resources and support that you found through the years, 4 years now of seminary life? Krista, tell me about that.
One of the really intentional things that the seminary does is offer classes for the women about just preparing for parish life and how to navigate seminary. When you first come in, there's a class that's just about transition and moving. And there was a class this spring about conflict and how to deal with that in the very intentional role of being a pastor's wife and what that looks like.
There's never conflict in the congregational life.
We hope not.
And we found one of the ways that we connected the most and got the most out of seminary was through the various outside activities the seminary has. My husband played on the basketball team, and so our first year, I know I made two really good friends just because we were sitting in the bleachers together, and that's how I got to know Kyla last year. So just being involved in the other things that our husbands were naturally involved in helped to ease the transition and get to know other people, and in those conversations, you learn so much.
Kyla, what have been some of the helpful resources for you through these 2 years so far?
I think the biggest thing really is just the act of moving to a new city and having an opportunity to figure out what to do in a new place. Where do you go to the bank? Where is the post office? What is there that's fun to do? What restaurants do you like? Just that experience is super helpful, I think, as we look forward to moving to unknown places for vicarages and calls. There's some strength that comes from knowing that you did it. And you figured out where to go, and it was okay, and maybe it took a little time, but the seminary is just a great place to kind of learn that skill, I think.
Anybody attend, I gather you all have attended call day or vicarage placement before, so you were there, you saw what was happening for the other students. What if you get a call or a vicarage assignment to some unusual place, some part of the country or the world that just does not thrill you, that you're not looking forward to? How do you think? Are you prepared for that? Selena wants
to. We were joking about this earlier, and I said we should all practice our "we lost the Emmy" face and try to just grin and nod. And, you know. But that, I think that's the greatest fear, right? And then how do I handle that? So
we didn't deal with that on Vicarage because we got such a wonderful assignment. But I think, you know, it's kind of understood that no matter where you go, you're serving God's people, and there's going to be joy in that. So to just keep your happy face on, no matter what, on call night, and maybe cry a little bit if you need to when you get home, but then find out what you can and look for what you can love about the community before you get there. And hopefully there's someone from the church ready to welcome you by phone or email or something just to help you feel more comfortable with that.
I think once you know where you're going to, you can start to paint a picture of life. And the internet, of course, is a great resource for this. You know, where, what is there to do in the town? And you can start imagining a little bit. And so even if the geography doesn't seem quite right, you just start to know that you did it once, you moved to a new place, you figured it out. There was a life waiting for you, even if you didn't know exactly what it was going to look like.
Right now, with all the unknown, it almost seems better to know. You know, whether that's exactly where you want to go or someplace you never dreamed of that's opposite of your ideal situation, you will know where you're going. And like Kelsey said, you can begin to paint that picture right now, all the canvases have a question mark on them.
That's true. Well, and for me, too, it's just helpful to keep in perspective that there is a whole group of people that are just as excited to know who's coming to their church and that have been talking about this for a lengthy amount of time to even be in the process of getting a vicar or a new pastor coming to their church. And so for me, that's just really exciting and endearing to know that there's already a group of people kind of cheering for our family and
absolutely
waiting to know that we're coming.
Think about the hours and the energy that go into preparing for a vicar or a new pastor, that whole process of calling someone or preparing for a vicarage and the paperwork that goes with it is just as much on their end of the preparations as it is, I'm sure, on your side of it as well. So yeah, there's a very good perspective there that they have just as much energy and perhaps as excitement and anticipation with this new opportunity that lies ahead.
Yeah, it's so much fun because some of the churches have call day watch parties now, and they're watching online and waiting and cheering to find out who's coming. So that's really a neat thing.
That's a good point. The seminaries live stream
yes.
the event so that the congregations and family members, loved ones, can also witness this really momentous occasion.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of a it's an emotional time, I'm sure, for many, particularly parents or extended family, wondering, where's my baby going?
Yes. Yeah. And we've talked a lot about how emotions are a part of it. And it's not only, you know, as the seminarian receiving the call is going to have emotions, the wife will have emotions, the extended family, the in-laws. I mean, there's so much of that. And that's all normal. And there'll be time to process that. But to always remember that at the end of the day, God's hand is in all of this, and that's why it's the call, and that there's going to be amazing things that will happen in that.
Sure, the Holy Spirit works through the call process.
Absolutely.
It works through the call to bring a pastor to carry out the duties of that office, to bring the Word of God, to bring the gifts of God and Word and Sacrament to these people, wherever He has called them. And thanks be to God for that. Sometimes in the moment, it may be hard to trust that. But thanks be to God, He has given us the means by which this happens. So what would you share, Krista, with these ladies who are preparing for vicarage? What words of wisdom would share with them as they prepare for vicarage? Perhaps the day of the assignment, or what life on vicarage may or may not be like.
Right. Oh, it's kind of hard to, you know, give a broad answer like that, just because our situation was so unique and our personalities are so different, even, you know, than the women sitting to my left and right. But one of the things I did, or kind of was found out about me before we got there, was that I'm a church musician. And so in both of the churches we served, they figured out how to plug me in. And it was wonderful. And the music director at our larger church was very kind about saying, do however much you can, knowing that we had two churches. And so that wasn't something that I had come up with on my own, but I would pass on to you, is do however much you can. And it's for 1 year. So don't try and do too much, but do what's going to make you excited and what you can enjoy being a part of.
I'm sure as a DCE coming into a new parish, there may be questions about what is my role? How do I serve? In what ways can I serve? Are those questions that you're already starting to think through, Kyla?
They are, especially we have interviews before vicarage placements are made with the placement director. So that question certainly came up. If there is an opportunity for me to work physically in the church as a called DCE, would I take that opportunity? And really with anything, whether or not I was a DCE, it would just be a matter of prayer. Where is there a need? Where do I fit in? And just kind of walking that path once we know where we're headed.
Celine. Yeah. Let's go back to your seminary days.
Oh, yes. I remember them.
What are the things that you share with seminary wives as they think about first call or vicarage?
You know, we talk a lot about, like Kyla said,
everything should be done in prayer. Mm-hmm. And every gal has a different set of gifts and strengths. And so taking time, first of all, especially with first call, to get to know people and just to love people and let them love you, because they will. The congregation are so gracious and wonderful and just wrap their arms around the new pastor and family. So just taking time for that. And then starting to figure out, okay, now that we're here, where are my gifts and the needs in the congregation? And then where can I get plugged in for that? I think is really important. In vicarage, it's similar, but on just a lot shorter time scale, because you don't have as much time to just mm-hmm. observe. And so I encourage gals to, you got to get settled first, of course, but to get involved. It's a year, and you will learn a lot. Even though your husband, this is his assignment, you'll get to learn a lot about congregation life. And, you know, if you've only been in one church your whole life, this is going to be a whole different experience. So take advantage of that. That's a good thing.
We talked a little bit about extended family earlier. Mm-hmm. What can we do to help extended family through this call process? You mentioned, you know, some watching online, watching the call day or the vicarage assignments. What are other things we can do to help extended family understand maybe we're not going to be living in the same part of the country? We might be, you know, on the other side of the world. Who knows? Yeah. The Lord knows, certainly. But how do we help extended family understand this process as well, particularly if they're not familiar with the call process or vicarage?
That was certainly my situation when Ben and I took a call. My family was absolutely not, and my husband was a first generation pastor, so it wasn't like a long line of pastors. So it was a very new experience in some ways for both sides of the family, and we were sent 19 hours from quote unquote home base, and so that was a big challenge. But I think allowing them to feel whatever they're going to feel, and you know your parents and you know your in-laws, and so you may already have suspicions about how they may process things, and that's good to kind of think about that prior. But also to know you can't control their feelings. It's okay that they're going to have some feelings, and you're going to love them through it. But keep moving forward in the path that God has called your husband, and keep your eyes on that while still loving them and mm-hmm. allowing them to emote however they need to.
Good point, that their feelings are their feelings.
Yeah.
And acknowledge that they're their feelings.
Absolutely.
And respect their mm-hmm. feelings, but that doesn't change
right.
your vocation and where you are, where you're given to serve.
Yeah.
Great point. Excited about call day?
Absolutely.
Excited about vicarage assignment?
Yes.
Very. Very.
I asked him today if were they counting days or hours at this point.
What was it? Days or hours?
Days are easier to
days.
Count.
Days right now. Days.
But it will get to hours at some point.
Yes. It's a Wednesday. And so tonight at about 7 o'clock, I'll probably say in exactly 2 weeks, because it's 7 mm-hmm. o'clock.
Oh, that's
service.
Right.
So that's an
right.
easy one. But yeah. right now it's still days.
Yeah.
How are your husbands preparing for a vicarage assignment or call day? How are they handling it from your perspective? They're probably in the middle of classes and
yes.
probably overwhelmed with all their studies.
My husband has had a lot on his plate this spring. 8 weeks ago, we had our first child. So he's a little overwhelmed in being a dad and keeping up studies and occasionally getting to golf with the seminary golf team. So call day is an important day, but I think he's found ways to not stress about it. And
he's got plenty of other things going on.
Other things, yeah. Sleep is more of a priority today than call day.
I would agree. There's a lot of homework, especially at this time of year. They don't really get off classes right all the way up to vicarage and call day. So there's just kind of a never-ending stream of things to occupy their time.
Yes, pretty much the same. I think as I start to go, can I pack up our winter coats like for good or... What do you think, honey? And he's like, I'm going to write my paper. We'll talk about that maybe in May
weeks.
Or April. I'm like, yeah. Oh, okay. Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah. And that can be a really challenge too, even after call day for the men, because classes aren't finished at call day. They continue. And so that's really sometimes a struggle, because they're 1 foot in the classroom and they're 1 foot thinking about where they're headed. And so, the wives come in handy to keep them grounded and make sure, you know, stay focused. We still got a few more weeks. We got to get through this. And then
you know, then we'll be off and away.
We have just a few seconds left. Anything that you want to share with others who might be thinking about seminary life, their husbands, fiancés are looking at seminary, just a few couple words about what you might share with them as they're looking at coming to seminary.
Sure. I would just say to really lean on trusted voices in your life. If it's something that you're considering, God will put those people in your path to encourage you.
Krista, anything?
Just this question came up the other day that God will provide for you. There are so many places that need pastors to just, if you're considering it, to really think about it and get those resources.
Just about 10 seconds. Anything, Kelsey?
I love what Krista said. God will provide. If you're nervous, God will provide the finances and the friends and the community and the house. God will provide the life.
Selena Haupt, Women's Coordinator at Concordia Seminary, thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much for having us. It's always great to be here.
Kelsey, Krista, and Kyla, thanks so much. God's blessings in the upcoming vicarage assignments and call.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word on Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.